plate a potential nugget.
Moving along, you, I also love the story around Victor Hugo and how he locked up all his clothes and just kept a shawl to complete the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And in a way, this flies in the face of economics, right? Where you would think people prefer more freedom, but your research suggests that people often prefer to handcuff themselves. And you spoke about this even in the way students sometimes, you know, different clusters, how they sort of submit their assignments on time. And you refer to the notion of commitment devices. So can you talk a little bit about the nuance here around why we sometimes choose to handcuff ourselves while we should be preferring more freedom?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a really interesting topic, and I really enjoy teaching my Wharton students about commitment devices because it's very counterintuitive. We're all used to the idea that, you know, maybe a benevolent government might impose some rules on us to try to help us achieve more, or that a parent might do the same, right? And recognizing that, for instance, we might be tempted to speed, but there's going to be speed limits that will prevent us from doing that and fine us if we do. So we won't be tempted, you know, or as tempted to speed, and we'll understand that there's consequences that might deter us from doing so. So we're really used to that kind of structure from someone else. But what's interesting is that research shows people sometimes will impose and benefit from structures like that on themselves, meaning self-imposed penalties for misbehavior. The idea that people would do this is counterintuitive. It's sort of counter to economic theory. Like, why would you ever fine yourself for bad behavior? And yet research shows people do find it appealing sometimes to constrain their future behavior in a way that will help ensure they follow through on their long-term goals. This can be particularly important when you know you have some long-term goal, but you might be tempted to deviate from sticking to that path. Like, you know what, you want to get these assignments done and do them well over the course of a semester. But if you have no deadlines, they're all due at the end of the term, you may be tempted to procrastinate, put off all the work until the last minute, and then not get it done. So one study by Klaus Wurtenbrock of INSEAD and Dan Ariely of Duke University did this. They did this really nice experiment showing that students given the opportunity to self-impose deadlines for assignments due throughout a class that will be penalized, meaning if you turn it in late, you'll get less credit. A lot of students actually choose equally spaced deadlines. Not all. Some say, yeah, stack them all at the end. I want the most freedom and flexibility possible. But others choose to distribute them more evenly so that they won't procrastinate. And this ability to self-impose deadlines turns out to improve student performance, particularly on the last assignment of the semester when they might, you know, might all have all the work pile up. One of my favorite studies is also a study about cash commitments, which are a different kind of commitment device where you can penalize yourself for failures as opposed to setting up structures that like create rules and prevent failure. This study was looking at smoking, and it gave smokers the opportunity in one experimental condition to put money on the line that they would forfeit if they failed to quit smoking in the next 6 months. Now, you might say, like, why would anyone put money on the line that they could just otherwise pocket no matter what? But the answer is, of course, to incentivize themselves not to keep smoking because they really do want to quit. So people could put money in this account and then they'd know they had to forfeit all the money if they fail a nicotine and cotinine test 6 months later. People who had the ability to do that quit at 30% higher rates than people who just got sort of a standard smoking cessation toolkit. And that's, I think, fascinating. It shows us, not everyone, by the way, put money in this account. Lots of people didn't, but enough did that it generated these benefits. So when we can think of ways that we can basically fine our future selves or constrain our future selves, sometimes that can be valuable if the barrier to goal achievement is that we might give into a temptation in the short run, we'll be sorry we gave into in the long run.
And is there a nuance here about private versus public commitments?
It's certainly the case that there's more efficacy in commitments in terms of, you know, are you going to achieve your goals, the bigger the penalty imposed for failure. On the other hand, there's also more penalty incurred if you fail. So there's a, you know, a little bit of a trade-off there. But if the real goal is, I want to change this behavior, the more cost you impose on yourself for failure, the better. And a public commitment is just an added cost. because basically now you're adding shame to the equation. So you can pile money on, like fine yourself more if you fail to quit smoking, but then you can say like, you know, I'm going to tell my grandmother and my, you know, my aunt and my, you know, the new person I'm dating. All right. These people are going to find out if I fail. And then that's extra cost in the form of shame. So public commitments are just one way to up the ante and make it costlier to fail.
When I'm working with a leader and I finish conducting their assessment, I generally suggest that they share the assessment report with a couple of close people around them, typically their spouse and a close friend, somebody who can shed some light on some of the themes that come up, but also somebody who can hold them accountable on some of the change effort. I had the opportunity to speak with Marshall Goldsmith, one of the most experienced and successful coaches out there, and he spoke about the fact that he had somebody calling him every day, asking him the same 6 questions to hold him accountable.
I'm going to give you a technique now that takes 3 minutes a day, costs you nothing, it'll help you get better at almost anything, and will stick if you do it. Now, some people are thinking 3 minutes a day, it costs nothing, help me get better at almost anything. It sounds ridiculous, too good to be true. Half the people start doing this quit in 2 weeks. We'll see how you do. 2 weeks, people quit. It's called the daily question process. Okay, I get together a spreadsheet. On one column, write down a series of questions represent anything in your life you want to get better at. Friends, family, health, work, whatever. Every question is answered with yes, no, or number. 7 boxes across, fill it out every day. At the end of the week, you get a report card. I'm going to warn your listeners in advance that report card at the end of the week may not be as beautiful as a corporate values plaque you see up on the wall. See, in my glowing introduction, you mentioned a lot of good things about me. One thing you left out, I have an incredible skill you left out. That's the ability to screw something up almost every day. I screw something up almost every day. Well, you do this process every day, you get to look at it. Now, I have someone call me on the phone every day to make sure I do this, every day. Somebody asked me, well, why do you have someone call you on the phone? Don't you know the theory about how to change behavior? I wrote the theory about how to change behavior. That's why someone called me on the phone. My name is Marshall Goldsmith. I got ranked number one coach and leadership thinker in the world for years. I have someone call me on the phone every day just to listen to me read questions I wrote, provide answers I wrote every day. Why? My name is Marshall Goldsmith. I'm too cowardly and too undisciplined to do any of this stuff by myself. I need help.
Back to Katie Milkman. I guess we all need some sort of commitment device or devices rather to ensure that we get the job done. To tune into the conversation with Marshall Goldsmith, just go to playtopotential.com and you can find him in the guest section.